The following is an Auburn Network production.
You are on the line. Live on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika's sports leader. Online at ESPNAU.com or on the ESPN 106.7 app. To be on the line, call in at 334-321-1390 or toll free at 888-382-7502. You are on the line with Jacob Goertz.
You're on the line here on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika sports leader. Happy Wednesday, everybody. Hope you're doing well on this Wednesday, April 17th, 2024. This is On the Line, the show that tells you like it is and holds nothing back. I'm your man, Jacob Goins, with you for the next 2 hours right here on ESPN 106.7. And back in the studio on this Wednesday is Uncle T-Bone with me, ready to get at it and get fired up on this Wednesday. Great to have you back in the studio, brother.
Yeah, happy to be back, Jacob. Thank you so much for hosting me again here at the studio at On the Line, the show that tells it like it is and holds nothing back. Give us a call at 334-321-1390, ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika. There are a lot of things going on out there, Jacob. Auburn baseball finally gets off the schneid, though. I want to start there with a big win over Georgia Tech and a fun game over at Plainsman Park. Those are very interesting, very, very interesting type midweek games, and I believe Auburn and Georgia Tech should play in every sport.
Yeah, and I think there's a lot of people that agree with that. I mean, the old school Auburn fans that just love Auburn, Georgia Tech, that rivalry from what that used to be. And I'll admit, in my lifetime, that has not really been anything. But for those of you that listen to this show and listen to this station and follow Auburn with your lives, I mean, you know what it means between Auburn and Georgia Tech. And, you know, Auburn gets the win last night. Yeah, they finally got the midweek win. They didn't slip up like they did against Alabama State a week ago. But it was not a stress-free win by any means for Auburn last night against Georgia Tech. A 12-8 win. Auburn and the Yellow Jackets getting together. Auburn put up an 8-piece in the first inning, and you're like, wow, okay, great response, great start. Everything is going fine. And then here comes Georgia Tech, slowly but surely, right? They just continue to chip away, got one in the second, two in the third, four in the fourth. You're thinking, oh no, here we go again, right? They come back within one, it's tied up, bottom of the sixth, Auburn gets a couple of runs, thanks to some big-time hitting, and then Georgia Tech scores one more, and Auburn's able to add the insurance run in the bottom of the seventh, and that's where you end up at 12-8. But Auburn gets the win, yeah, but again, it's never easy with this team. Even when you do win games, man, they've got to play nine innings to get it done.
Yeah, no lead is safe for Auburn in baseball. Let's just be honest. I mean, the pitching staff just gets shelled day in, day out, and Auburn's got to really outrun teams with its offense. Georgia Tech's always a quality baseball program. And they put up eight in the first inning, and I didn't, you know, it wasn't like turn the TV off time by any means.
No,
like this is only going to get more and more interesting as the night goes on. So, but you know what? Kudos for them to ending the losing streak. It was pretty painful and has been. Hopefully, that'll be some momentum going into the weekend, confidence boost for a team that desperately needs it. I still think there's time to get into the SEC tournament, and I know we say it every week, it's do or die, but it is do or die time for the Tigers. They're going to have to get a sweep in there, plus win just about every SEC series from here on out to guarantee that. You know, I don't think they're going to any regional, neither do you, but that doesn't mean the season's completely over. You can still salvage some stuff at it. And obviously at the end of the season when Alabama comes to town for the last weekend series, you need to go ahead. If you're not going to get in to any real postseason play, have that circled, as at least we're going to take care of business in state. And I want to get to something real quick on Georgia Tech. David Housel once told me this, and I truly believe it. He said, Uncle T-Bone, God wants Auburn and Georgia Tech to play in sports every year. And I totally believe him, and I'm throwing the gauntlet down. Thought about it last night. We should open up with the Yellow Jackets every single year in football. One game here, one game there, and then one game in the Dome, and just rotate it every year from here on out. Jacob, what do you think?
Well, let me ask you why. Because, you know, for somebody like you, you've been a fan of Auburn since 82, 84, right?
Yeah, I mean, a daily fan since 82, since Bo went over the top.
Okay, and so, and when I'm going to open this up to a lot of our listeners, too, 334-321-1390, what is it about the Georgia Tech game? What is it about Georgia Tech? What is so special to you about the Auburn and Georgia Tech rivalry? Because Uncle T-Bone, you're not alone. And that quote right there is pretty strong, saying that God wants Auburn and Georgia Tech to play. What does that mean to you? What is the passion and the love of the Auburn Georgia Tech rivalry that once was?
Yeah, I mean, it is an old school rivalry. Georgia, you know, those two schools, when Auburn quit playing Alabama a long time ago, I believe they stopped playing for 48 years, okay? And Georgia Tech filled that void, along with Georgia especially, as Auburn's primary rivals. And, you know, just all the old stories you'd hear from old school Auburn fans when Auburn and Georgia Tech played forever. Now, Georgia Tech kind of lessened the rivalry when I was alive when they left for the ACC. And I never quite understood why they did it, you know, but they did. I bet they wish they hadn't now. You know, I mean, who knows how it worked out for them athletically, but this is just the passion, the old stories of how Auburn fans used to go out and grease the rails. The Rec Tech parades were always fun. The Fijis painted themselves purple. I always remember that as a child. And it's just one of those football rivalries that I just can't quite put my finger on it and still can't to this day, but it touches Auburn folks in a very emotional place. Mm-hmm. And not to mention in today's football world, where it's going to be hard enough for Auburn or any other school really to get to a national championship. Okay, and that's why we play the game. And Auburn has plenty to compete with in the SEC, but you're going to have to play some Power 5 teams outside of the conference. What better team to play, which is just 2 miles up the road, in a recruiting hotbed for the entire college football world in Atlanta, where you can basically just bus up there and bus back and not have to break the bank. And Auburn fans and Georgia Tech fans can fill up that stadium 50-50, probably be more like 70-30 in today's world with Auburn, and just get a quality opponent on paper, at least as Power 5, and go on with the rest of the season from there. I think it would just be a very fun weekend. You do it over Labor Day, maybe even do it on a Sunday in the Dome when you play, and then, you know, back on Saturday campuses when you play. And I just think that it's something, after watching last night's game, that just brought back fond memories of when I was younger, and it's something that should be rekindled.
Well, I think I don't think you're alone on that. We'd love to hear from our listeners. I know we got some old school fans out there, some old school Auburn folk out there, that we'd love to hear your thoughts on Auburn and Georgia Tech. 334-321-1390. And that's more on the football side than anything, but you see it in now baseball, of course. Auburn will be going back to Georgia Tech in a couple of weeks as well. And so you've got that going for you. But Auburn does get that win last night. They went 12-8, and now they go on the road to take on Mississippi State, which is one of the hardest places to play in all of college baseball, in Stark, Vegas. And while Mississippi State may not be the team that they have been in the past, they may not be national championship caliber like they have been in the past couple of years, it's still a really good team. It's an elite program. And as I mentioned, it's one of the hardest places to play in all of college baseball.
Yeah, that's, you know, look, this is a desperate series for Auburn, probably a desperate series for Mississippi State. That's a place where teams in the past have struggled for years to get wins. There's a lot of tradition over there with Mississippi State. You know, Butch Thompson used to be part of that program. Auburn athletic director John Cohane obviously used to be part of that program. So this is a winnable series for the Tigers. Too bad it's not at home. But let's just be real honest, Jacob. Even being on the road, and even what Mississippi State normally is, they're not anything compared to what Auburn's had to go against in the SEC so far. So, look, Auburn has gotten the toughest part of its season behind them. Mm-hmm. So they're going to have to start making some hay now. And if they can't, well, then the season is most definitely long past over.
Yeah, and we had Lindsey Crosby in here yesterday from Auburn Daily talking about Auburn baseball. And he said that this was one of the hardest starts to a schedule in conference play that he has ever seen.
We said that preseason, just mm-hmm. looking at it, that none of us had ever seen a gauntlet like that for a college baseball team.
But it's unfortunate because, I mean, nobody feels bad for you. That's what it comes down to. Nobody feels bad for you.
You can't use it as a crutch.
Exactly.
Look, those other teams took care of business against us. We got to take care of business, too.
Boom. 334-321-1390. Speaking of old school Auburn fans, got one on the phone lines right now. K-Bag, you're on the line, man. What's up?
Hey, good afternoon, fellas. I want to have a little conversation about what I call as legacy rivalries. And y'all are talking about one here with Georgia Tech that goes all the way back to my grandfather when he was here, you know, a graduate of Alabama Polytechnic, you know, on his diploma and whatnot. And, you know, with the expansion of the Southeastern Conference going to 14 teams and bringing in Texas and Oklahoma, I mean, you want to talk about legacy rivalries, let's talk about what we got coming up this fall here. We don't play LSU, we don't play Ole Miss, and we don't play Mississippi State. I mean, we're talking about three established programs within the Southeastern Conference that, you know, as a traditional Western rivalry, we're not getting the opportunity to play them this year.
Yeah, I'm with you, K-Bag. In my entire life, Auburn's played Mississippi State every single year, and just about in my entire life played Ole Miss every year. Now, the LSU rivalry, Auburn used to not play LSU as much as those two schools when we were coming up until the conference split really into Western and Eastern divisions. But ever since then, that's been one of the wildest and wackiest rivals in college football. Crazy things have happened. You and I both, K-Bag, have a big respect and a lot of fun with LSU fans, and I'm going to miss seeing them down there and up here, man.
Well, I'm going to be perfectly honest with you. You know, LSU is my number two team, and it's not even close. I love everything about Baton Rouge. You know, their fan base is good people, regardless of what people want to talk about experiences in Baton Rouge. I've been to Baton Rouge 7 times, and yes, I have been cussed out by a 70-year-old grandma. You know, that's a fact. And that's okay. You know, you think about the experience and where you are, and you know what? We've been on the losing end. I've never seen us win in Baton Rouge, but I've been there 7 times because it's all about the weekend. It's all about the experience. It's all about the camaraderie and the tailgating. And once you go to the cathedral of college football in the South, and that's what Tiger Stadium is the cathedral of college football in the South.
Yeah.
And I really just hate that we're missing out on that as this expansion, you know, starts to grow legs and starts to reach further and further.
Yeah, and you know, the rivalry with LSU is definitely a younger generation rivalry, folks like me. K-Bag,
easy on the younger now, Jacob. That's, you know, easy now.
I say younger. I say that rivalry has really come to fruition.
I was present for the night on Saturday night when the old school barn burned, when my dad's old student act burned. I was there. In
there you go.
Seven, row 43.
Hey, that's a special day in college football history, my friend.
Oh, it's etched in stone.
Yeah, you better believe it.
K-Bag, did Pops, was that y'all's tailgate that burned it down?
I'm not here to say whether it was or wasn't. I was selling programs on the corner at that point in time, you know, just trying to earn about $15 a box.
What were you going to buy with that $15, K-Bag?
Well, it wasn't about necessarily what you bought, it's what you bartered for.
There you go. That's old school right there, buddy.
So anyway, fellas, you know, it's a good time. I appreciate y'all bringing up the Georgia Tech rivalry. Of course, you know, with the Rec Tech parade back in the day, you know, there's a lot of things that the current generation of Auburn students, I'll say,
right,
that just doesn't quite get what the old school Auburn was back in the day. And I hope that, you know, in the next, you know, recent period of time that we can reconnect the current day Auburn with that old school Auburn and some of those traditional rivalries that we had. And I hope we don't miss out on ones like Georgia Tech, LSU, and the Mississippis as we go forward throughout the years. I appreciate you, fellas. Have a great day.
Yeah, appreciate to hear from you, K-Bag. 334-321-1390. And here's what I'll say. Unfortunately, I think we are going to miss on a lot of those.
Yeah, no question about it. I'm with you. My question is, you know, if you get your conference schedule set up right, and you know it for the next couple of years, however this thing shakes out in the next couple of years, and they start some type of rotation, could Auburn just go ahead and say, you know what, we got that opening, and so do you, LSU. Even though we're not playing conference, can we play a non-conference conference game?
I mean. Maybe.
I mean, how would that work? Why not schedule an Ole Miss or Mississippi State like that instead of flying across the country to play California, which I don't think Auburn got any benefit out of that, or will this year with California coming back? That's not some type of marquee matchup. That's not. I mean, even though they're a Power 5 team, I guess they were. I don't even know if they're in a conference anymore. How much money did Auburn have to spend to go out to Berkeley and play that game at like 2 in the morning when we could have just rode up and down the road and played Georgia Tech, or even schedule Mississippi State if they weren't on our conference schedule?
Well, think about the teams that Auburn has coming up. I mean, you've got home and homes with Baylor and Miami and some big-time programs that Auburn's going to be playing in the next, you know, 5 to 10 years in the home and home, which I like the home and homes so much more than these stupid neutral site games in Dallas and in Atlanta and Nashville or wherever. I'm tired of those, man. Home and homes are what make college football so great. The home atmosphere is like K-Bag was talking, going to Baton Rouge for a night game and coming to Jordan-Hare with the lights on and seeing all that. That's better than crowding an 80,000-person stadium in Mercedes-Benz where Auburn can't play, which has nothing to do with this. But I just get tired of filled stadiums where there's no noise or passion because you're in some foreign city. Let's go to the college campuses and bring college football back to what it's supposed to be.
Yeah, hopefully they're going to do more of that with the expanded playoff.
Which they are.
Which they should. I didn't mind the neutral site games. In fact, I really kind of liked them when there were just like one or two. And when I was coming up, there was only one. It was the Kickoff Classic in East Rutherford, New Jersey, home of the Giants and the Jets, right in the Meadowlands. Mm-hmm. And if you got to play in that thing, it was pretty prestigious. And Auburn played Miami in 1984 and lost 20-18. Bo Jackson had a good game. I believe that was Jimmy Johnson's first game at Miami. But there was only one of them, right? And it was an extra game. And that was like really cool back then. But now there's like 15 of them. And they go on all weekend.
Yeah, they start on Thursday and go all the way through Monday night.
Yeah, and they have the one on Monday night, which kind of messes up the entire Labor Day, because by then I'm about Labor Day'd out and ready to go back and knowing I have to go back to work. And so I got to stay up late and watch Ole Miss play, Texas Tech in Houston Stadium.
Yeah. Well, and you also, on top of it too, not only do you have all of the neutral site kickoff games, all you've got the 50 bowl games that are neutral site too.
Yeah, and you and I are on the same page with that.
Yes,
there's
we
just
are.
Way too many of those things. I don't know, Jacob. I mean, I just kind of this Georgia Tech things. I guess I'm in an old school mood today, and maybe after the break we can talk a little bit more of that in regards to Aiden Holloway.
Ooh, 334-321-1390. Have a couple of the stats I want to drop on you about the Mississippi schools no longer being on Auburn's schedule. Plus, yeah, we got to get into that a little bit as well. Phone lines are open all show long today. Give us a call, 334-321-1390.
You are on the line on ESPN 106.7. Online at ESPNAU.com or on the ESPN 106.7 app.
Back inside the studio here at ESPN 106.7, K-Mac brought up an interesting point. We got on this conversation about rivalries and games that Auburn has been playing and the historical games for Auburn football and ones that are just not on the schedule anymore, including LSU, Ole Miss, Mississippi State. We've talked a lot about Georgia Tech. And people forget how long Auburn has played those Mississippi schools. And I found this stat that says Ole Miss will not be on the schedule for the first time in over 30 years for Auburn football. Mississippi State will not be on the schedule for the first time in 70 years.
That's crazy.
They will not be on the yearly schedule for Auburn football because of the changes, because of the conference expanding and all of that. And, you know, I've had this conversation on the show before. I'm fine with it. I mean, I really am. I don't care. I mean, yeah. As Auburn people, do we really care about playing Mississippi State every year? And I know they've had Auburn's number the last handful of years because Auburn's been down and State has taken advantage of that time a few times. But do we really, are we going to miss going to Starkville on a Saturday night and listening to cowbells for 3 hours? Are we really going to miss them coming to Jordan-Hare and watching Auburn just drag them up and down the field for four quarters? Like, I'm not. I'd rather play somebody else. I'd rather play Florida more often. I'd rather play Tennessee more often. I'd rather play South Carolina more often. And now play Oklahoma and Texas. Now Oklahoma's going to be on the schedule for what I believe is just the third time ever that these two teams will play. So that's what I want to see more of. Who cares that Mississippi State's not on there? Now, Ole Miss is a little bit different, especially with Lane Kiffin being there now and them actually being relevant. And LSU, as I was telling K-Bag, has become a rivalry in the last 30-plus years that has really become heated. And that one is one that I'm going to miss. But a lot of people, you're like yourself, Uncle T-Bone, you would rather see a Georgia Tech or somebody like that. Or, yeah, Mississippi State on the schedule.
Yeah, I mean, maybe I'm just a little bit more of a traditionalist. You play somebody that many times, I think you should just keep playing them. You know, it's almost like they become part of your family and you're in the backyard playing yard football against them or wiffle ball or backyard basketball or whatever. I did not realize that Auburn and Georgia Tech go back all the way to 1892 with their first meeting.
Old school right there.
That, I believe, is either the second or third football game that Auburn ever played. The first one was in February of 1892 in Piedmont Park against Georgia. So they played that winter, and then they played, a season of three or four that fall. And 92 times these teams have played. Auburn leads the series 47-41-4. Coaches such as Mike Donahue and John Heisman have been at both. The very first Rec Tech parade was in 1896. I mean, this is old school. This is what I want to see Auburn in college football. I don't want to hold on to all the old school forever because that's impossible. I mean, kids are getting paid $2 or $3 million to go to schools now.
Mm-hmm.
But there are some things that I still believe are necessary for college football to continue to have that legacy of passion that has been with people like me and the generations before me and even the generations before then, passing on to the generations like you, Jacob, and on and on and on. That's what makes college football so special, is these regional rivalries. And when you start, if you're going to take stuff away like that, where does it stop? I mean, is Auburn going to quit playing Georgia? Is Auburn going to quit playing Alabama every year at the end of the year? I mean, what if we're sitting here 20 years from now and I'm an old decaying Uncle T-Bone, Grandpa T-Bone by then, and I'm like, Jacob, I remember when we used to play Alabama every year. Now we don't even play them but every other. I mean, where does it stop? And it's just this runaway freight train of, I don't know, I don't want to say unwritten rules, but tradition in college football that's just being eliminated, and I hate to see it.
I mean, I don't think that's a outlandish thought that it could happen. I mean, I'm sure there were people years ago that thought Georgia Tech would never be off the schedule, that Ole Miss or Mississippi State would never be off the schedule for Auburn. And how about when the Georgia game got moved from when it used to be to where it is now in the middle of October rather than being in November? And that was a big move. Like, that was a big deal for Auburn fans and Georgia fans. Like, that game had always been played on the same weekend every single year. It's kind of like the Alabama-Tennessee game, right? That third Saturday in October.
Mm-hmm.
And then that game gets moved, and everybody flips out, and everybody loses their minds. But yet, now here we are a few years later, and it is what it is. I don't think it's a crazy thing to think that in years and years and years from now, yeah, Auburn may not play Alabama every year, or they may not be the final game of the year because of how conferences are realigning, how college football is changing, and just everything that's involved here. I'm not saying it is going to happen soon, but I don't think it's crazy to think that it can never happen.
Yeah, I mean, anything, it seems, is up for debate and up for change in college football and college athletics in today's world and moving forward. I mean, with the amount of money that's coming in, I mean, who knows what's going to happen, Jacob? So, you know, I think it's important to hold on to these traditions. And John Cohen, if you're listening, Auburn Athletic Director, get Georgia Tech on the schedule for football every year. Do it.
You speak for a lot of fans, Uncle Tebow, and I can tell you that. We got people tweeting at us wanting to get your takes and our takes on a few things, including Aiden Holloway. Plus, there's an interesting storyline going on around the NBA that doesn't have a whole lot to do with basketball, but the association just banned somebody from the NBA. How about that? We'll talk about all of that. Plus, Andy, you'll be first up when we come back here on the Wednesday edition of On the Line. Phone lines are open all show long. 334-321-1390. We'll get to the phone lines when we come back.
Jacob Goetz on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika's sports leader.
30 minutes into hour number one here on the Wednesday edition of On the Line on ESPN 106.7. He's Uncle T-Bone. I'm Jacob Goetz. Let's get to the phone lines, 334-321-1390. Andy, we appreciate you holding on through the break. You're on the line, man. What's up?
Hey, Wiggle, how are y'all?
Doing good, man. What's on your mind?
Hey, two things. The first one is, are y'all going to be anywhere this Friday?
unfortunately, I don't think we are. We've been all over town the last couple of months, and so as far as I know, I think we're in studio this Friday.
All right, well, it's my fault, but do a little bit more advertising so that I can actually stay for a drink, and it always looks fun when I stop by and grab a shirt or a koozie or something like that. But
we'll buy you a drink, Andy.
I need a couple of days notice to plan everything out and
you got it.
You know, an hour, but man, last Friday looked a lot of fun. All right, you know, we all have loyalty to a team, and I mean, some people, I mean, do you remember that woman that shot someone like Auburn, Alabama, up in Birmingham like 7 years ago?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, people go crazy about a team and what's a team made up of, the players. And I grew up, you know, loving Del Murphy and Bo Jackson. And
that's right.
I think those are the reasons why I fell in love with those two teams, and all my clothes is, you know, has A's on it. I really feel like I'm watching the death of sports. Not only you know how I feel about the money, which is just ridiculous, but I couldn't imagine if Del Murphy went off to, you know, the Phillies. Well, I think he did eventually when he was out to the pasture, or Bo Jackson going to Alabama.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know, you have loyalty to these players and you love them. I know we ran off Bo, but at least Bo went to the other side of the world over there in Oregon. Again, you love these players, good or bad. You know, they're college kids. We couldn't boo them because they had the passion for the sports. Now they're making money, more money than any one of us adults that have been working for 30 years. And if this guy, I don't know the rumors, but if this guy really goes to Alabama, that is the biggest trash. Again, I just feel like I'm watching the death of sports, where there's not going to be any loyalty to teams because the players are going to have no loyalty. And the fans, you know, it's a domino. It's way down there. It's not going to happen tomorrow. But,
yes, sir.
You know, with these players making a whole bunch of money and missing tackles and not caring or saying stupid stuff, and, you know, soon they won't even be allowed to hit out on the football field. And then, you know, this transfer where every year we're going to be like, who's staying, who's going? And it's just, you know, our hearts are going to be broken so much. I mean, it that kind of stuff destroys marriages. It's going to destroy, you know, sports and the relationship between the player and the fan. So,
yeah.
Again, just really depressed, and if you could talk about that, you keep leaving cliffhangers. So tell me what's up, and tell me, you know, what we can do to prevent this from happening.
Yep.
Again, bye.
Will do. Appreciate the call, Andy. 334-321-1390. And he's absolutely right. And way before I was able to be on the airwaves and on the radio, way back in my middle school days, when this began to start as a conversation of, oh, college athletes should make money, they should get their name in a football game, in a video game, and all this type of stuff, right? And I was not alone, and I'm not claiming to say that I was the only one saying this. I knew it was going to ruin college sports. I knew it was going to, because that was the one thing that truly separated college football from professional football, was they're there to play because they want to be. They're there to play because they want to be good. They want to be great. They want to play for their school. They want to win games. They want to win championships. And they want to play in front of packed out, sold out stadiums on a Saturday night in the SEC. And yes, they were working to get to the NFL and to make a paycheck, but they were earning their way there. Like Andy said, some of us and adults that work every single day, we're working towards something. And that's what college athletes did for years and years and years. Whereas now, they just show up and they make more money than some of us will ever see in our lives. And yeah, it's insane. It's ridiculous. And whether you agree with that or not, that's everybody's personal little opinion, but it is the downfall of sports as we know it. Sports aren't going anywhere, but it's the downfall of what made college sports so special. And it's unfortunate. It really is. And look, I'm a younger guy, and I'm still saying that. I'm not get off my lawn type of thing. I'm saying it's obvious, and I think most people agree with that college football, college athletics are just not what they used to be, and they never will be, and it's only going to get worse. And you can blame whoever you want to blame, but that's just a fact.
Yeah, if the players aren't going to have any loyalty to the programs anymore, then why should we have any loyalty to them? And I think the cliffhanger that Andy's talking about, and Andy, I can promise you, we'll remind you ad nauseum next time to make sure you come to one of our live remotes, not just to say hey like you have done, and thank you so much for the support. You're one of our number one fans and callers. We appreciate you, but we'd love for you to hang out. We'll buy you a couple of cold snacks as well and get to know you better. Maybe even put you on air, man. He'd be pretty good with the microphone and the headphones on.
I think a lot of our people probably would.
Absolutely. So we're talking about Aiden Holloway now. We've just danced around this for 45, 40 minutes.
Which are no rumors.
The Aiden Holloway, former five-star, can't miss, going to be one and done, best player Auburn signed in years, point guard that came in and really didn't quite have the season that most people thought that he would, not just fans but media alike in him, and I'm sure that staff as well over at Auburn is. He's in the transfer portal. That's fine. That's today's world. More power to you. Good luck. Auburn fans are like, well, you know, there's been a huge debate. He really kind of – some people have said he's a five-star bust. Some people have said that those type of fans have been too hard on him. Lighten up. The kid loved Auburn. Great kid. Takes losing harder than anybody. Loves it here. Wants to fight to get better. All good, man. You want to leave, that's fine. More power to you. And then stop the presses. The record is stopped. The lights have been turned on. The party's over. He's going to visit and go to Alabama tomorrow? You're going to visit Alabama. You're going to leave Auburn a month ago. You were with Auburn, and Alabama fans were ripping you apart, saying you're the biggest punk they've ever seen at point guard at Auburn. You're nothing. You're soft. You're weak. Five-star bust. Booing you. Hating on you. Can't stand you. And now all of a sudden you're going to go visit up there, and they're like, man, you know, he might fit in with us up here. He's got a lot of talent, Uncle T-Bone Roll Tide. And it's like, what are we doing here? What are we doing here? And that kid has all the power in the world and all the right in the world to go up to Alabama if he wants to. But if he signs there, Jacob, I can promise you that is not burning a bridge with Auburn fans and Auburn people. I don't give a darn what anybody says. That's taking dynamite and blowing it up like in that movie, The Bridge Over the River Kwai, into about a trillion pieces. Don't ever come back here to Lee County. And when you do come back to Neville Arena next year, get ready for hell, Aiden.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be bad if that is what happens. And here's what we know.
You're dead to me.
Here's what we know, all right? We know that Alabama has lost quite a few folks to the transfer portal. The latest, I believe, is Nick Pringle, who entered the portal yesterday. They've lost quite a few guys.
Alabama's lost, that I know of, four players right now to the portal. Rylan Griffin, Nick Pringle, Chris Parker. Excuse me, this is five. Davin Cosme and Sam Walters.
So they've lost some heavy hitters, which means you got to go to the portal.
Maybe
you got to
find more.
Yeah, and you got to go to the portal and you got to find some heavy hitters. And Auburn has lost their fair share of heavy hitters too. And one of those guys is Aiden Holloway. And it is a fact. It has been reported that Aiden Holloway will be visiting Nate Oaten, Alabama tomorrow to see what the status is, see what's going on up there in Tuscaloosa. There's no word on whether he wants to truly go there, if he's going to commit or anything like that. But if you're taking the time and you're going to travel and you're going to go visit, you're at least interested. And they're interested in you. And you start looking and breaking this down of like, okay, would Aiden Holloway be successful there? Yeah.
Maybe.
Probably.
I don't know, man. I don't think that's a guarantee.
I don't think it's a guarantee. Nothing's a guarantee. But you're telling me that Aiden Holloway, who coming out of high school was the best shooter in the country, goes to Alabama, the highest rated three-point shooting team in the country, who shoots more than anybody else, who truly lives and dies by the three. Nate Oates has brought in some dudes that were not all that great and made them superstars. You're telling me that Aiden Holloway can't become a superstar there? Sure, I think he absolutely could. And I think their system, the offense that he runs, is much more suitable to him than anything Auburn ever ran, because it's just not built for that. Bruce lets people shoot, yes, but the offense ran through Jani Broome, Jalen Williams, Chad Baker Mazzara. It didn't run through the point guard. It didn't run through Aiden Holloway or Trey Donaldson. That's not what his offense does. Now, you've had successful point guards here, sure, but Alabama has the potential to make him great. And I've already been telling you, you know what's going to happen. It's the Auburn way. It's the Auburn way for some kid to come in here who's a five-star McDonald's All-American. The expectations are through the roof. And he's going to go no matter where it is, whether it be Alabama or not. And he's going to find his shot. He's going to find his confidence, because I truly believe that's all it takes for him. And he's going to be a 15, 20-point-per-game scorer. He'll be a 35% three-point shooter, and he's going to help a team be really, really good. I can feel it in my bones, Uncle T-Bone.
Both of those offenses are deadly when they're in transition, and it's effective, both Auburn and Alabama. Both of those offenses, though, are more successful when it runs from the inside out. They just do a little bit differently. Auburn runs it with their big men in and then out. And with Alabama, it's when Mark Sears would penetrate, get inside, and threaten to attack the rim and find somebody on the outside who was open for a shot. I don't think Aiden Holloway's got the size right now to play that effectively in any offense where he's constantly attacking the rim. He's going to end up on the floor shooting wild shot after wild shot like he did against Alabama. The guy missed wide open layups against Yale. I mean, wigged out and had such little confidence, he couldn't even score a point or get an assist as a five-star against Yale. Give me a break, man. I mean, Alabama's offense, and Nate Oates is a good enough coach to make anybody a star there, but it's not like everyone who goes there has been wildly successful either. I mean, they've had some. This Davin Cosme kid was a four-star and a pretty highly touted kid. He hadn't done anything there. He's gone. So, you know, I don't understand who's giving this kid advice. Maybe I'm just from the old school and quite can't understand what's going on in today's world, but that's just almost like breaking an unwritten rule there. Jacob, I said it earlier on another show, I was raised to not touch another man's fries, and you're beginning to really push the cosmic karma and the undercurrent of this Hatfield and McCoy-like rivalry in college athletics, and you're taking your chances of not only alienating yourself forever from one fan base, but if you bust out at the other one, at both.
Yeah.
And I just don't think it's a good look. Look, you're more than welcome to do what you want, Aiden, but don't ever expect any Auburn fan to welcome you back with open arms. I go back to when James Willis, former Auburn linebacker great, was a coach here and pulled some shenanigans to get hired when Gene Chizik came in by Nick Saban up at Alabama while he was still an employee at Auburn, and then was running around on Jordan-Hare Stadium on the field there at Pat Dye Field where he used to play after the 2009 Iron Bowl as an assistant coach there. there decked out in crimson white gear, and I can promise you no Auburn fan's ever going to welcome him back. So you better make dang sure that you understand the consequences of burning this bridge. And in this rivalry, look, Jacob, I'm an old man. I've made plenty of mistakes in my life. I've burned bridges, you know, and it feels really good when it happens. But over time, you know what you end up doing?
Regretting
coming back
it.
Hat in hand because you're the one who got burned and apologizing. This kid could end up spending the rest of his life trying to apologize to a fan base, whether he liked them or not at the end, that tried their best to take care of him while he was here, and so did the Auburn Athletic Department. Bad luck, Aiden.
The sad part to me is that, and this has nothing to do with Aiden Holloway personally, this is just the mindset of the athlete nowadays. They don't care.
Yeah.
They don't care.
Well, if you don't care about that anymore, then quite frankly, I don't care about you. And I'm going to heap down all the criticism of the world on you if you're going to have that attitude. And if it is just about you getting yours now and getting your money, then you're not a student athlete anymore. You're not a young kid anymore. You're a professional player. And I'm going to give you as much professional criticism as I possibly can. You deserve it.
Which is where it's heading. And you know what, Matt? As crappy as this may sound, I think at this point, that's what they deserve, which is so wild to say. It is. That is outlandish to say for me, but it's true because just like we were talking about earlier, they're getting paid millions of dollars. We're not talking hundreds and tens of thousands. We're talking millions of dollars. This is not, hey, here's some food. Go get some food at the food hall on campus. Hey, here's your education that we're paying for. Hey, all your housing and everything, your books, yeah, we got that. No, they don't even think about that anymore. That's just included. That's just to even get you to sit down with them. They're getting paid 6 and 7 digits right now, Uncle T-Bone, to play college ball. So you know what? Maybe they do deserve professional-type criticism, which, again, for 18, 19-year-olds is outlandish because you're still a kid. I don't care what the government says. You're still a child.
Yeah.
But that's what they you get the rewards, you get the backlash. You get everything
right.
That comes with that. It's called being a celebrity. It's called being a superstar. That's what being an athlete is nowadays, whether you like it or not. And it's unfortunate because not all of them are like that. Not all 18, 19-year-olds are like that. But they all get grouped into that category because most of them nowadays are in a it's me, myself, and I, it's me against the world, which if you're not like that, you're going to get eaten alive, which is so crazy too. And it's unfortunate, but that's the world we live in, sports or not.
I know we got a lot. I've got some thoughts on this, especially the what you just said, the key word, the scholarship. So let's just go ahead and take a break, Jacob, and we'll get to this last segment. But I got a lot of thoughts on this, my friend.
Let's do it. Final break of the hour. We'll come back, wrap it up, probably carry this into hour number two as well. Phone lines continue to be open, probably get you at the start of hour number two. So keep that in mind. We'll get some phone calls starting at 3 o'clock. So we'll have that. We'll wrap up hour number one after this.
Are on the line on ESPN 106.7. Call in at 334-321-1390 or toll free at 888-382-7502.
All right, a couple of more minutes here in hour number one. We've gotten on some really good conversations so far here in this first hour. We'll open the phone lines back up to begin hour number two. But you had some more things you wanted to say on this, Uncle T-Bone, and we're going to carry this into the second hour more than likely. I mean, we only have few minutes, but it's all stemmed from this Aiden Holloway news. And look, here's the thing. He hasn't even committed anywhere yet. He's just taking a visit. And it's got folks all sorts of fired up. Now, of course, he's taking a visit to the one place Auburn fans don't want to see him go, and it's to Alabama. And I ask you this question and let you get into some more of what you wanted to say. Are Auburn fans fired up because he's visiting Alabama, because it's Alabama, or are they worried about him potentially playing there and what he could do playing for the Crimson Tide?
No, it's because he's going there. No, not I mean,
because it's Alabama.
Absolutely, because it's the Iron Bowl rivalry. You know, and this rivalry hasn't been as heated as it once was. 2009, 2010, into 2011 before an act of God in those tornadoes in April 26 of 2011 that basically brought the state back together with Bow Bikes Bama and all the damage that was done in Tuscaloosa and even close to here in Auburn. It really kind of finally, at least for a little bit, made people realize that there's more important things in life than especially the football rivalry, which from 09 when Trooper Taylor and Looper got here and started challenging Nick Saban on every single recruit and got up in their grill on everything, and then Alabama won a title, Auburn won a title, then Alabama won a title in 11. This was the epicenter of rivalry in college football. And, I mean, it got so bad that a guy snuck into downtown Auburn and unleashed a pathogen with the intent to kill. I mean, in some type of enviro or echo terrorism, whatever you want to call it. It was sick. It was out of control. So things have definitely simmered down since then, despite the fact that it's a pretty heated rivalry in basketball. I think it's been pretty, for the most part, fairly, you know, up and up. There hadn't been nasty. There hadn't been nasty fights or anything. It's just been good old-fashioned competition, which it should be. But this kind of thing going over, this kind of thing is the kind of thing that can turn that rivalry on a dime back to pretty nasty, in my opinion.
I think it could.
And quite frankly, someone needs to advise this kid that, you know, this may be in your best interest short term, but long term in the grand scheme of things, I really feel like, man, you're just burning a bridge with some folks that did their best to take care of you. Fact.
But the problem is, I don't think they care. And that's what I continue to go back to, which is the world we live in. Hour number one in the books. We got a whole lot more coming up in hour number two. Stay tuned.
You are on the line, live on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika's sports leader. Online at ESPNAU.com or on the ESPN 106.7 app. To be on the line, call in at 334-321-1390 or toll free at 888-382-7502. You are on the line with Jacob Goertz.
You're on the line here on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika sports leader. Happy Tuesday, everybody. Hope you're doing well as we get underway here in hour number two on the Wednesday edition of the show. Did I say Tuesday? God, my days are all messed up, man. It's Wednesday. Uncle Tebow, why didn't you correct me? You're just sitting over there. You didn't even correct me, man. I said it was Tuesday. Today's Wednesday. Help me out,
yeah,
man.
Yeah, you'll be all right, man. We got callers.
Well, if you're just now tuning in, if you missed any of the first hour of the Wednesday edition of the show, lots of great conversation earlier. We got people all sorts of fired up. We've been talking about a little bit of baseball from last night. We've been talking about the Aiden Holloway news as well. So all of that was in hour number one here on the show. If you missed any of that, you can go and catch up with the podcast at ESPNAU.com or just search On the Line wherever you get your podcast. Lots of more conversation here in hour number two. Phone lines are open, 334-321-1390, and we begin with Jones. You're on the line.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. You know, Jones is a man of few words. I don't have incessant dialogue a la Spector and Dak and others, so what I'm going to say and hang up. You guys are absolutely world class with your description, verbiage, compelling, and absolutely unparalleled diatribes about the state of Auburn and other affairs. I really enjoyed it. And any of you listeners out there who aren't supporting the sponsors of this show are out of your flipping minds. This is the best show on radio. And the last thing I'll say is when the big boys pick you up, a la Cone and Crane and Tagalong Blaine, I'm going to be the first to subscribe.
Well, man, that means the world, Jones. Heck, thank you very, very much. That means a lot. And he held on through the break to say all that. So, man, Jones, we appreciate you and your support, and we know that there's so many of you that are like that. And look, man, you can tell, I hope, that our passion and our energy is something that we bring every single day, and we believe it. That's the biggest part that I like to stress, Uncle T-Bone, is we believe what we say. And look, some may make fun of our show motto and that we tell you like it is and hold nothing back, but that's exactly what we do. We come into this studio every single day, and that's exactly what we plan on doing. So, Jones, your support is felt, my friend. We really, really do appreciate the kind words.
Yeah, we wouldn't have a show like we do if it wasn't for listeners like Andy and Jones and Spectre and Lonnie from Locha Poca. We love all y'all. Even, you know, when I get called out for saying something outlandish or incorrect, even, you know, I mean, it is what it is. I feel like I do about a lot of things, and it's probably because I've been cursed as an Auburn fan since 1982. It's the hardest job I've ever had in my life.
Yeah.
And so
it definitely doesn't pay enough.
It brings out the emotion. I think it's just a perfect example, like Jones is saying and like you're saying, the emotion, the passion of college athletics, especially growing up here in a town like Auburn. It's unparalleled, in my opinion, in all of sports, not just in this country, maybe worldwide in some cases as well. So thank you, Jones, for the kind words. We're just going to keep firing at them, Jacob. So who's up next, intern Alan? Spectre?
Yeah, it is. Spectre, you're on the line, man. Come on, let's see if you can follow that up. You're on the line.
Well, I could have said it better, but I'll leave it at that, Jones. Thank you very much. I really appreciate that.
That's awesome.
But I have contracted C&M Siding, so kiddos to that.
All right.
Oh, that's awesome, man.
Beautiful.
Yep, they're good people. But, good job, Spectre.
But I want to ask something. Put your thinking caps on. Could you tell me how Broome did in his freshman year?
I have no idea how.
Well,
how he did.
when you're talking before he came to Auburn over at Morehead State.
Yeah, I got a point to that question.
Okay, well, I don't know that off the top of my head. I can find out for you pretty quick, but I don't know that off the top of my head.
Well, my point is, you know, Holloway and Trey were on my dream team. You knew that, right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, and they're freshmen, and you know, you got to give them a chance to develop. My goodness.
Agreed.
Okay, they were five. One of them was 5-star coming out of high school. Well, he has to make that transition. And, okay, he didn't get it right. He you know, he had some learning to do. But I've always said that our coaches have to be the best recruiters to retain the people that we have. And if this kid goes over to Alabama, which Holloway I'm talking about, and starts smoking it up in his sophomore year, man, we have made the worst mistake in our life. And I'm saying is, give the kid a chance. We talk about NIL. It has absolutely ruined college sports, and it is absolutely FUBAR. It is absolutely FUBAR.
It's German.
And I don't, you know, back in the day before the portal, you know, there was a coach across the state there that would keep kids from coming to Auburn. He would retain kids,
sure,
and recruit them just to keep them from coming to Auburn.
All right, no doubt about
There's
that.
There's been multiple coaches over there that did that.
Yeah. Well, the portal has done away with that now.
That's
so,
right.
So I'm at wit's end with this. I don't know where I'm going next with it. I give up. What'd you find out about?
So Broome in his freshman year at Morehead State, OVC, the conference freshman of the year. He was first team Ohio Valley Conference, averaged 14 points, 9 rebounds, and 2 blocks per game as a freshman at Morehead State.
Okay, well, he wasn't a good example then.
Well, I think he's the perfect example, Spectre, of how the transfer portal should work, and we appreciate the call, buddy. Give us a call at 334-321-1390, like Spectre. I think Jani Broome is the perfect example of how the transfer portal should work. He was going to a smaller school in the Ohio Valley Conference.
he developed there and obviously had enough talent to, and probably should have been picked up by a bigger school out of high school for whatever reason he was there, but he's given the opportunity to move on and go into a bigger conference and work his way up into a draft. I don't think that the transparency of the portal, especially with Holloway here, is how this is supposed to work or how it was supposed to work in people's minds. I just think that who contacted who here, how long ago was their contact? Okay. I've got a lot of questions about how he's ended up visiting there at Alabama. And I'm with Spector. I'm like, heck yeah, let's give the kid a break and let's develop him. Look at the development of Trey Donaldson in 2 years. I'm heartbroken that he's leaving.
Yeah, you better believe that.
I'd be even more ticked off if he's leaving and going to Alabama. So if Holloway had stayed here, he could have developed. But he's bailing and throwing up deuces right into the face of all Auburn fans by going to Alabama.
Which is how the portal works right now, man. And like Spector said, NIL has been a big part of that.
And he goes there.
And exactly. And there's some news earlier. We're about to get to Lonnie and Lochipoca. There's some news from Brandon Marcello talking about now the unlimited, and here's what he said on X. Unlimited penalty-free transfers for players is one step closer to becoming NCAA's law of the land, pending the Monday final approval, which is likely, after a court injunction earlier this spring opened the door for players to transfer as many times as they want. So, as you're talking about right there, as we've continued to say, we're getting to a point where limitations don't even exist because, A, the NCAA is spineless. Some would call them some other words, but that's what we'll stick with here on the radio. Spineless and just a joke. And the portal, as NIL has been abused. It has been misused, misjudged, and they thought it was going to be one thing. And because of the lack of guidelines, because of the lack of discipline, because of the lack of execution from the NCAA, it has now become a you-know-what show. I mean, it has become a disaster. And it's things like this that just get me fired up because it's not fair to anybody. And I don't know, the fair is in August is how I grew up and learned it, but... This is just wrong, is what it is, and it's being abused, and that's just how it goes. 334-321-1390. Spector, we appreciate your call. We continue as the phone lines are lighting up. Lonnie and Lochipoca, I know you got something to say, man. You're on the line.
Well, I was going to follow up with what Spector said, but he go even beyond that as far as what he said about it being FUBAR. It is actually the portal and the NIL have actually – turned me off from the major three sports guy. That's mainly what I watch and pay attention to. It has turned me off from that as a fan more than anything else in the history of me watching Auburn sports or collegiate sports at all. So, you know, that's one, you know, thing that I wanted to say about it.
Well, it just all has so much.
A lot of people like that.
Yeah, well, it just has so much of a professional sports feel. Like, there's, like, especially here in the state of Alabama, right, Lonnie? Like, there's not a ton of NBA or NHL fans. There's a lot of baseball fans because it's the South, but NBA, NHL, that type of thing, like, there's just not a whole lot of those fans around here because of the difference in what professional sports have been compared to the beauty of college football that we've had here in the South. And now, college sports feel that way. They've got that grimy feel of professional sports, and for guys like you, it's turning you away.
Well, let me say this, though. It doesn't mean that I'm going to stop watching Auburn athletics or anything like that, but I mentioned it when I called in the other day, and I'm going to keep mentioning it for people that either are not involved or want to be involved, and I'm going to say it again. The gambling bill is not going to pass. Therefore, if you have not been involved with the On to Victory Fund or the NIL Fund for Auburn, you need to get involved, even if all you can do is the bare minimum per month. That's what I'm doing. That's what I can afford. And, you know, for anybody that can do that, I think that's a smart thing to do.
Yeah, I'm with you, Lonnie. It's almost like if you're going to have a complaint, it's like about anything athletically, at Auburn, it's almost like being a voter complaining about the government who doesn't vote.
Yeah, that's exactly right. I mean, it, you know, if you're not gonna get involved, if you're a fan, not just of Auburn, and Lonnie, we appreciate the call. Right. Not even if you're an Auburn fan, just a fan of any team in college athletics. It could be Alabama basketball. It could be Northwestern swimming. I don't care. If you're not going to get involved, and look, some people can't get involved financially, right, Uncle T-Bone? I mean, you have to address that and understand that, but do something and vocalize your opinion, and then if you have a chance to do it and to really put your voice into action, then yeah, do something. But, I mean, everything has changed so much, and I mean, so many people you can hear all of our listeners, they're getting fired up, they're getting upset. I mean, people are getting turned away from college sports, something I thought could never happen because of how special it is, how unique it is, and just how much fun it is. People are forgetting how much fun college sports are, and a lot of that has been lost over the years.
Yeah, you know, I disagree. I really don't think it's a professional format. It's just the Wild West. I mean, there's rules in professional football. Yeah, you can be a Dallas Cowboy and go play for the Washington Redskins, or you could be a Boston Red Sox and go play for the New York Yankees in free agency. You can't do like Kalen Proctor did at Alabama and go to Iowa and get an NIL deal and stay there 3 months and most likely have somebody from Alabama call you back up and say, hey, if you come back, we'll give you more, and then go back.
Yeah.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah.
And that's one of the biggest problems with this whole thing right now is there's such a lack of transparency. And I wanted to get in this when you mentioned scholarships. You know, I'm a taxpayer. Lonnie's a taxpayer. We're all taxpayers, not just state and federally. And Auburn and Alabama are state and federally funded organizations. You know, I need to know what these kids are being paid NIL. If they're getting a scholarship at Auburn off our dime, off our taxpayer dime, they are employees in some form or fashion, either 1099 contract or on payroll at Auburn and Alabama. I should be able to know what they're making NIL and who's paying that money.
Mm.
And it's just such a gray area and secretive area. When you start hearing about people like Ryan Williams, who's an Alabama recruit, getting paid $2 million possibly to sign at Alabama, where did that money come from? Did it come from the coffers of the state revenues and taxes? I mean, it's just so shady right now and sketchy and everything.
Which is crazy because it's always been a little bit that way with college sports. I mean, there's been some nasty things happen in the past on the back end, but now it's coming to light, and now you're doing it out in front of everybody in the street.
But it's still shady, and it's still in this gray area. Back then, it was just completely hush-hush and whatever, the bag man, however you want to describe it. It's almost like Lonnie talking about this gambling bill in Alabama. Nobody's gambling in Alabama, right? Because gambling's not legal in Alabama, Jacob. Nobody gambles. Yeah, okay. It's just done in a shady way, and the state and none of us taxpayers are benefiting from it. What's going on with NIL, and how is this thing really funded, and how much are these kids really making? And it just needs to be more above board some way, somehow.
Let's get to our first break here in hour number two. We got phone lines lighting up over there, Uncle Tebow. John and Auburn, you'll be first. Shane, you'll be second. We got more behind that when we come back here on the Wednesday edition of On the Line.
You are on the line on ESPN 106.7. Online at ESPNAU.com or on the ESPN 106.7 app.
Let's get to the phone lines once again, man. They've just been lighting up. We must be doing something right or something wrong, Uncle T-Bone. One of the two. Let's get to this guy. He's been holding on for a while. 334-321-1390. John and Auburn, you're on the line, man. What's up?
Hey, guys. Great show. I just wanted to point out that the portal is I just feel like sports in general have a cyclical nature to them. So, for instance, take Auburn women's basketball. I think the transfer portal was a blessing this week. And I don't know how to pronounce her first name, but Talia Scott,
mm-hmm.
She's going to be a game changer for the program. You're looking at somebody that at an SEC school averaged over 20 points a game last year.
Yeah.
I mean, that's serious. Think about it if this was men's basketball and how'd we be looking at it. Now, yes, men's basketball generates more revenue than women's basketball for the university. But, I mean, I just feel like it's cyclical. I remember – I remember when Bruce Pearl was hired at Auburn, he would make comments in interviews that his job was to keep Auburn fans entertained between football season and softball season. And well, I mean, it shows you the cyclical nature over 10 years.
Yeah, and it just shows how much it's really changed and how the outlook of it has changed. Because, sure, when the portal first, you know, when the true transfer portal really started coming to fruition and all of that, I mean, it was exciting. And when good things happen, it is exciting. But then, you know, it just seems like, John, there's so many more negative sides to it, and there's so many more of bad scenarios where fans get burned or players get burned or whatever. It just seems like more of those situations arise rather than Auburn basketball getting blessed with a really, really good player.
You know what I go to, I think even the coverage of sports, because I mean, when's the last time you saw a college football game on any networking platform and the major of any player is said in a game?
Yeah, good point about that.
Like, you just don't hear it,
because I mean, they're not student athletes anymore, John. They're just pure athletes that happen to be playing for a college.
The only time you hear student athlete is if the NCAA has a spot during a game.
That's really true. Yeah.
But hey, I had a comment and a question real quick.
Okay.
Auburn baseball, the pitching, I mean, this is just such a brutal season for baseball. Reminds me of a story of a minor league game about 30 years ago, and you know, pitchers just giving up about 10 runs by the third inning. Coach manager comes out to pull them. Tells the pitcher, like, hey, you know, need to go ahead and pull you. Kid says, hey, coach, I'm fine. I'm not tired. He said, no, I know you're not tired. Go look at your outfielders. You know, that's how I kind of feel like this Auburn baseball team's going with the pitching. I think Auburn has a streak going of, like, being the team in the country with the longest streak of having at least one player drafted in the majors every year. Is there a draftable player on this team, or how's that looking?
Yeah, I would say so. I would think a couple of guys. I mean, you know, you've got a couple of those hitters that, and I mean, Ike Irish is up there as guys that are really gaining interest in Major League Baseball. And apologies, that's something we really need to talk with Lindsey Crosby about when he's in next week as well, because you know, there are guys on here that I think are draft eligible hitters and pitchers, and we could go through those, but I do think there are draft guys. But I see what you're saying. It's just been a tough year for this squad.
Absolutely, absolutely. All right, guys, enjoy the show. Have a good one.
Thanks so much, John. We appreciate you, man. 334-321-1390. Let's get to Lonnie and Lochapoca coming back for more. Lonnie, what's up, man?
Hey, I got cut off.
Oh, apologies, man. Come on. Hit us with it.
Yeah, it was probably my phone. But anyway, I wanted to address the Holloway situation. And this is a question that I think, you know, maybe people won't care to listen to it, but I mean, this is something I think about. If Holloway goes to Bama and he lights it up at Bama, is that an indictment of Bruce Pearl in any way as far as coaching guards?
See, I think that's what I was kind of saying earlier, right? It's like, are Auburn fans worried about Aiden Holloway going to Bama because of the potential of what he could become? And that would need to be a legitimate question, Lonnie. If he goes there and he lights it up and becomes the the superstar, all SEC guard that we thought he was going to be here at Auburn, do you have to question Bruce Pearl, maybe A, his recruiting, or B, his coaching? I don't think there'd be anything wrong with that.
I mean, I think, Lonnie, what if he goes there and he's a huge flop, or you going to get on here like a bunch of other haters and say, is this an indictment on how Bruce Pearl recruits? I mean, I think circumstances can change, and sometimes – really talented people just don't gel somewhere for whatever reason. It's hard for me to – in what year also, like if he stays at – if he goes to Alabama and stays there for 2 years and in the second year is like Mark Sears, there's no indictment on Bruce Pearl. But if he steps on that campus day one and goes crazy, it could just be a matter of circumstance as well.
I think it could really hurt us in recruiting if next year let's say he goes to Bama and lights it up next year. I think that could hurt us in recruiting against Alabama in the state.
Do you think that he will?
No, I don't actually, because I think he's an overrated player and he's too small and he needs some size.
Yeah, I'm with you on that.
The one that hurts
me the most, Lonnie, leaving is Trey Donaldson. And there's an article out that I saw today that he's visiting Michigan possibly. I mean, golly, if he stays, I know he probably doesn't want to play behind the guy from Furman, who it's very clear is going to be starter day one unless there's just a huge problem, the transfer portal guy. Another example of how I think the transfer portal should work. But – golly, man, he was progressing and getting better and getting tougher. I mean, what could he have been had he stayed here his whole 4 years?
Yeah. Well,
and I think that's more of an indictment on Bruce Pearl's coaching, really, because Donaldson was okay. He was a better football prospect than basketball coming out of high school. And he's really come a long way. And had he stayed here, I think he'd have gone even further.
Yeah, I agree with you. Well, the last thing I want to talk about is baseball. Of course, it's usually the last thing I want to talk about, but it was good to see us get off the snide last night. But I do want to know, and I have been unable to find this, and maybe somebody in y'all's studio or somebody out that's listening to this can find out, when is the last time that Auburn baseball started 2-13 in the conference? I'd love to know that.
Yeah, that's a good question. And hey, we'll put intern show producer Alan on that, see if we can find that, because it's probably been a while, I can tell you that.
Yeah, y'all have a good one.
Thanks so much, Lonnie. Always great to hear from you, man. 334-321-1390. Appreciate you coming back. Got a couple of phone calls that we're going to get to. We're up against our bottom of the hour break. But, yeah, on the baseball side, I mean, 2-13 for Auburn, and especially in the Butch Thompson era, Uncle T-Bone, I mean, it's just not something that happens. I mean, the baseball team struggling is just something you don't expect with Butch Thompson. It's like the basketball team struggling with Bruce Pearl if they got off to a rough start. It's just not something that happens because the expectation's been set so high here at Auburn.
Yeah, I mean, look, the ball bounces funny every once in a while for you. It's a wicked game. I thought when John was talking about minor league stories from about 30 years ago, he's about to start quoting Bull Durham. You know, look, it's a tough game, but they'll be all right long term, man. I'm not worried about it. It's just one of those years, man.
Yeah, it is. And so many more things to get to with the transfer portal, with news and topics and all the conversation we've been having on the show today. Got two calls when we come back. General Lee and Spectre, both of you will be up when we come back. Phone lines continue to fly, man. Come in and be a part of it. 334-321-1390. More fun conversations on the Wednesday edition of On the Line after this.
Jacob Goins on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika's sports leader.
We've got 30 more minutes here on what has been a wild Wednesday edition of the show, man. Phone lines have just been constantly ringing. We have put intern Alan to the test today, and he has done a fantastic job. And we would love to continue to hear from all of our wonderful listeners, 334-321-1390. And we continue to do that here. We get to the phone lines. And General Lee, you're on the line, man. How are you?
Doing good. Good afternoon, guys. Kudos to intern Allen. Good job today.
Shout out to intern Allen.
Thank you, General Lee.
Yep. Uncle T, it was good to run into you at lunch last week.
Yes, sir. That's right. It was nice to see a friendly face over there.
Well, I tell you, guys, you know that I rarely call in, but I listen every single chance I get. And I just wanted to weigh in on a couple things real quick, maybe get your opinion.
Go for it.
Couple things. I definitely agree with Lonnie in his takes on, the NIL situation. As it just continues to morally and ethically erode. You know, every single minute, every single hour, every single day, the passion that guys of our age have always enjoyed. There is no loyalty. There's not as much as there used to be anyway. there's always the temptation of the grass is greener on the other side. And, you know, and Uncle T, you bring up a good point that fires me up, man, like the transparency or lack thereof. I'd like to know what these guys make. I mean, it's kind of like the Kennedy assassination. It's all shrouded in mystery. So
there are a lot of rumors out there, you know.
Yeah, you know, and on this Aiden Holloway thing, it'd be nice to know if it was knowable. It never will be. But, you know, when did he start talking to that camp? You know, and how long has that been going on?
Great
has
question.
Has he been offered something already? These are questions that I would love to know.
It's hard for me to believe, General Lee, in, say, for example, the situation with former offensive lineman from Alabama, Caden Proctor, who became former Iowa offensive lineman, who now is back at Alabama after 3 months, that there wasn't tampering there.
Got to be. You know, and I just don't know why they can't come up with throwing some cash. You know, first of all, the scholarship, the books, the tutors, the clothes, the apparel, the
Pell Grants.
You know, people will drive you around all the time. And that's just not enough.
The Dodge Chargers.
Cash handshakes is never enough. And now it's paid for hire free agency, and this willy-nilly transfer business is, you know, like Lonnie said, and I agree with wholeheartedly, it's causing me to not give a flip, you know, more and more.
Woo.
And so
dodge bullet there, guy. Generally, you just gave Jacob a minor heart attack.
Oh.
I knew where you're going with it, though. Well, I got trust in you, brother.
Yeah, exactly. I can't rein myself in from time to time, but
no, you're good.
But anyway, to switch, that was just my 2 cents worth, and I do want to ask you a question to change gears just slightly.
Yeah,
I know, and then I'll just hang up and hear your response. And the quarterback room with the football team, what foreseeable? Speaking of the transfer portal, what foreseeable entries do you see coming out of that quarterback room by the time fall gets here, depending on who's QB1, QB2? And I'll hang up and listen and see what your thoughts. Guys, I love the show. Thanks for letting me call.
Appreciate the call, man. Generally, you're a long-time listener of me in particular, and, of course, since Uncle T-Bone has come on. But that's a guy that's listened to this show for over 2 years since I took over in April 1 of 22. So, man, appreciate you calling in. And to answer your question on the quarterback side of things, leaving the quarterback room, it's a good question because I don't know, and all I can do is give you my opinion on what I think is going to happen. I think, and I know, I'm pretty confident in this, that Peyton Thorne is your go-to guy. I mean, Peyton Thorne is your number one guy. He's your quarterback. Mm-hmm. And Hugh Freeze has made that so. And the quarterback room now has been filled. And, I mean, there's guys in there. There's enough of them in there to where you have a legitimate quarterback battle is what Hugh Freeze has said. But I do think, and I think we all know, that Peyton Thorne's going to be the guy. Now you start talking about, okay, Holden Garner, Walker White, Hank Brown, like those types of guys that are in there, are they all going to stay? And the answer is no, probably not. But then you've got to figure out, okay, which one is it going to be? Who's going to leave? Well, Walker White just walked in the door, so don't think he's going anywhere. If I were to just close my eyes and throw the dart on the board with a bunch of faces on it, I would say Holden Garner because he's been here already. He is talented. You're hoping that he gets better, and he probably believes that he could be a starter somewhere, whether it be in Power 5 football or not. He probably believes he could be a starter somewhere. So that would be my answer just because I think it's kind of a process of elimination there.
Yeah, I'm with you on that totally. No doubt that Holden Garner would be my bet if someone were to leave, right? And that, you know, Hank Brown was a recruit for Coach Freeze up at Liberty, and he is now here at Auburn, so I think he stays at least another year. Walker White just walked through that door, to put it lightly, and Peyton Thorne's your starter. I mean, that's all there is to it. I know a lot of people don't want to hear that. I think that there's been plenty of fair criticism and a lot of unfair criticism of Peyton Thorne, and that was the thing that I heard at A-Day from some folks that were just like, you know, we got to go get another guy in the portal. And I was like, you know, who's going to get in there this late after spring practice, you're just going to have a repeat of what you did with Peyton Thorne, and where are you going to get the money to pay him? Mm. There's only so many dollars that can go around.
So they say.
Allegedly, but there really are at Auburn. I mean, it's just not a money tree over there. And so, you know, it's not like Cam Ward, you know, was that hot name at the end of last season. Well, you know, you had to go out there in this NIL world and get all these players out of high school, half of which in this recruiting class are going to be second string probably.
Yeah.
Or better.
Mm-hmm.
So all of that cost a lot of money, and, you know, put your money where your mouth is if you want a new quarterback, Auburn fan.
Well, that's kind of where you are, and it seems like that Hugh Freeze has put in pretty much all the eggs in one basket here of Peyton Thorne, because he is, I guess, nonchalantly and indirectly doubled and tripled down on Peyton Thorne. Because, look, I don't think anybody's coming through right now in the portal, because you don't need one. You've got all sorts of quarterbacks in there. You just got to figure out which one you want. And with everybody behind Peyton Thorne being so young, yeah, I mean, it's going to be him. Like, I'm not worried about that whatsoever on the name that it's going to be who runs out there with the first team in the first game this season. Like, it's going to be Peyton Thorne, barring anything crazy that happens here.
Yeah, the only quarterback that truly hasn't been recruited to Auburn under Hugh Freeze is Holden Garner. So, of course, he would be naturally probably the most likely to leave. You know, but, you know, are people knocking down their door to come get him is the first question.
Well, I mean, he's unproven. So, like, you're taking a pretty big gamble on him if you do. If he were to enter the portal right now, I mean, all you have is...
He'd be taking a step back from a program like Auburn if he went right now, like T.J. Finley had to do, and he had some really good results at Texas State. So, you know, it might be just... That's another reason why I think the portal works in a good direction. You might have been a little overrated or just not good enough to play at a higher level, but you want to keep playing quarterback, and there's teams out there that, you know, like Texas State, who need you.
Yeah, and I mean, and like you said, those are the things that can be the beneficiary of the transfer portal. Those are the good things
about
the portal.
Those are the positives.
Right.
Right? You know, and do they outweigh the negatives right now? I think at first they did, but now I think it's just becoming this wicked, behind-the-scenes, non-transparent way of recruiting players and tampering with other people's rosters.
Back to the phone lines we go. 334-321-1390. Dak, you're on the line, man. What's up?
Hey, guys. Good to hear from you today, man.
Yeah, good to hear from you as well.
Yeah, your quarterback is set for this year, but I'm going to tell you, the interesting battle will be next year with Hank Brown and Walker White.
Mm-hmm.
Because those are two studs right there now. And
I got a feeling that there's going to be a pretty big-time commitment in this class as well that's going to come in and try and have something to say about it as well.
And you may be right there, too, especially with, you know, the offensive line and the skilled people that we got coming in. A guy would feel pretty secure coming in, unlike the last previous two or three seasons, you know.
The weapons on the outside. I mean, there were frustrating moments of Peyton Thorne that I thought were very fair to criticize last season, but a lot of those issues, too, were A, drop passes, Dak, and B, the receiver not running the route where they needed to be, and he thought he was going to be there and had to improvise.
That's right. And, you know, and I've said this before when I've called, the number one film you can look at is the Texas A&M game, because we were so critical of him after that game. But from my information that I had gotten and from going back and watching it again, yeah, he had no clue where the receivers were in that game. That's why it looked so bad, because they were screwing up so much.
Because they weren't where they were supposed to be.
That's right.
Man, you're a football guy, Dak. You know that. You can break that down better than we can.
Oh, there's nothing more frustrating, man. And what is so critical is the depth. And that's where they were screwing up so much. I mean, especially in that first year of Freeze's offense, a lot of it was timed routes. And, you know, where they're going, supposed to go 5 yards, they were going 7 or 8. And then sometimes they were going 3 yards, and the quarterback ain't ready to throw it.
Yeah, which throws the timing all off. I mean, it throws everything off.
That's right. And it makes the quarterback look really bad.
Yeah, well, like Hugh Freeze says, the quarterback gets all the fame and gets all the blame, right?
That's right, guys. And, And look, before I go, I wanted to touch on the article that I don't know if you saw the article today talking about Nick Saban and the ESPN thing, and then him still being an employee of the University of Alabama. Did y'all see that?
I did see that. Joseph Goodman from AL.com wrote that article.
That's right. And so that goes back. I have said this for over a year now that our boy, my mind's went blank for a second. That's over ESPN. That does the show Game Day.
Kirk Herbstreit? Reese Davis.
I have said for over a year now that how can he show up at Alabama events and talk to recruits, and he's, a part of that Game Day and ESPN. And now we're talking about not only Reese Davis doing that, but Nick Saban doing it.
Well, Dak, I mean,
how can that be legal? How can that be? I'm not saying illegal, but you know what I mean. How can that be ethical in recruiting with everybody involved?
Dak, you know this, and I know this. Alabama's going to look for any advantage that they can in any sport to gain victory and to gain an advantage. They've been doing that in football forever. They'll do everything they can to load up their people in the media and get positive coverage and even slightly negative coverage at best on the rivals. And this is just another example of it. Nick Saban hanging around. Is it against the rules for him to be there at practices and be there talking to folks and be there possibly recruiting for folks? I don't know, but they're going to push the envelope one way or another.
Right. And it goes back to when we got beat in the Iron Bowl this past year.
I know where you're going.
Kirk Street, and they were partying. It's because they knew they had a deal already worked out with Nick Saban. And it is plain as day when you see that film of them jumping up and down and high-fiving each other.
Yeah, this is why I call ESPN the CIA of college football. Thank you, Dak, for the phone call. The article he's referencing is on AL.com. It's from Joseph Goodman.
I'll admit, I haven't seen this. I'm reading it as we talk right now.
Y'all remember him, Auburn fans, Brian Harsin's best friend. It says, Goodman, an ethical dilemma for ESPN and Nick Saban comes into focus. I mean, look, I've been screaming this for years. And it goes back all the way to 2010. We had a discussion on this a couple of weeks ago with Spectre on why I don't pull for the SEC blindly. And it's when I kind of woke up to the fact that the majority of mainstream media, in my opinion, is fake news and very, very biased and pushing an agenda for whatever reason. And I never used to think that in sports until 2010 when this whole Cam Newton story just exploded.
Which he came out and spoke about, by the way.
Yeah, it just exploded out of nowhere, and it was just all negative, 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 negative. Auburn cheats, Auburn's plantations, Auburn's always been a bunch of cheaters. And it was only because Auburn was successful in football and Cam Newton was a big part of it, and Dan Mullen and Urban Meyer were ticked off because Florida fans wanted to know why to Urban Meyer, while they were struggling in one of his last seasons, why Cam Newton wasn't there to pick up the reins after Tim Tebow and keep the party going, and Dan Mullen was just bitter because he wasn't there in Starkville doing what he was doing in Auburn. Mm. And it was so biased and so over the top at that point, I was like, this isn't just natural. This is what's called fake news. And when you see stuff like on ESPN, just the push from the likes of Kirk Herbstreit and the celebrations like Dak referenced and the fact that Reese Davis is an Alabama grad and now Nick Saban's going to be there for Alabama and it's all Alabama, Alabama, Alabama. It's like that's not naturally happening. Someone is pushing those folks to be there, albeit very talented folks. You can't tell me that they're going to be completely unbiased, and are. They're not. That's just a fact.
I'll say this. I don't have anything against anybody in their platform that wants to show love for their alma mater. And what I mean by that is Kirk Herbstreit with Ohio State, Desmond Howard with Michigan. You see in media all the time, not just ESPN, but just, turn on any NFL television broadcast. It's a former NFL player, 9 times out of 10, as the color commentator, which is totally fine. And there's a reason that these coaches and players continue to get hired as these so-called analysts is because they know the game better than we do, because they played it, they coached it, sometimes both. I totally understand that. But you have to find a way to, I mean, look at Fox and look at their pregame show. I mean, they got Urban Meyer on there, who is beloved and goes to Ohio State twice or three times a year for the pregame show, and he's all about it, which is, again, I don't have a problem with that, but these guys are struggling to separate their love for certain schools, whether it be their alma mater or not, and they're struggling to separate that from their actual job and their analysis. And that's what's the problem, because at heart, Uncle T-Bone, they're fans, and it's hard to do.
Everybody in the media is a fan.
Ourselves included.
Absolutely. And I think who does a great job of it, and it irks Auburn folks, is Charles Barkley. I think he does a fantastic job of being a very biased fan, but a very unbiased analyst.
But he's vocal about Auburn. There's no doubt about that.
But I just can't say the same for the powers to be, it looks like to me, at ESPN. And this is just another example of it. And he asked in this article, Goodman does, and it's a fair question, will he be able to criticize Alabama, and will he be able to give credit to Alabama's rivals?
Let's get to our last break of the hour. We'll get to Dak once again, who's come back, has one more thing to say. We'll get to him and wrap up the show when we come back here on ESPN 106.7.
You are on the line on ESPN 106.7. Call in at 334-321-1390 or toll free at 888-382-7502.
Winding down here on the Wednesday edition of On the Line. Let's get to the phone lines one more time. Dak, you're back for more, man. I got you about a minute or so. What's up?
I got you. Sorry, I had to comment on this and reflect back on what you just talked about former players and Coach Saban saying things good about your school. I don't have a problem with that. It's when they do negative things against other schools.
Correct.
And Reese Davis blistered our tails when we fired Harsin. And he did about a 3 days' worth every day. Blistering us, and so they should not be able to do anything to hurt our recruiting or any other school's recruiting, in my opinion. And now that you got Saban on board, I mean, that just makes it even worse.
When you know who's allowed that to happen? Auburn.
Yeah, I mean, in a lot of ways, Dak, we should learn and fight back and get out in front of that and challenge that, and sometimes we just take it too much. And I'm with you, though, and sometimes I have to ask if it's just more than bias. And you can put your tinfoil hats on and whatever you like, but you can't tell me in politics it doesn't happen, that very powerful organizations don't pay PR firms to push negative stories about their rivals. What's that? What's to stop a very powerful university from doing that in sports?
Well, you know as well as I do, Reese Davis and Herb Street, they had their say-so in who went to that Final Four playoff.
No question about it. No, absolutely. If they didn't have their say so about it, they sure were not just they were holding the water for it. And right. And what's to stop somebody from paying them to push them out? I mean, they could be 1099 contracts on the side.
That's right. Absolutely, guys. Thank you. Good
you job. Know, if the University of Alabama wants to pay me $5 million a year to bash Auburn, I guess I could be like Aiden Holloway and become James Judas Willis too. Get you some of that.
Look, I know some people are going to take these as outlandish conversations and outlandish topics and, oh, this could never happen. You guys are just going crazy and just you guys are ridiculous.
Happens all the time.
Well, if that's how you think, that's how you think. But that's something that we pride ourselves on is we're going to talk about things that are not just generic. We're not going to talk about the same generic topic over and over. We're going to bring up things that matter and things that are real. And I think the reaction from all the topics we've had on our show today, numerous of them, the rivalries that Auburn has gained and lost over the years, Aiden Holloway visiting Alabama, media members that are bashing Auburn. I mean, all these things, we've talked about them today. Jacob. And Uncle T-Bone, this two-hour phone line, the 2 hours of our show, the phones have not stopped ringing.
And we're going to keep firing at them, buddy. I just got a text from the pitmaster, and he's right. He says 1099, whatever, cash. What's to stop? You know, you don't think that major universities have ever paid high-profile five-star football players bags of cash to come play for them?
It's been proven. They've been caught.
So what's to stop them from paying somebody in the media who's very powerful a side of cash to attack their rivals? Nothing.
We'll leave it at that. Great topics. Great conversation today. This was a blast. If you missed any of it, you can find it on the podcast, ESPNAU.com, or just search On the Line wherever you get your podcast. I'll be back tomorrow. Brad Law joins us. Chris Gordy from Locked On SEC as well. We'll be back tomorrow, 2 to 4, right here on ESPN 106.7. He's Uncle T-Bone. I'm Jacob Goins. Stay safe. I'll talk to you later.